Welcome to the Chicks Talkin' Footy Joy Podcast, sponsored by The Pancake Parlour, supporting AFL women since day one. Lovely.
Well, hello and welcome to Chicks Talking Footy on Joy 94.9. There was a little bit extra in the welcome there. Hello, Beck.
Hello, Danae.
How are you, Crow?
I'm excited.
Of course you are. Ladder leaders. And Bree, how are you, Tiger?
I'm well, actually. Much better than last week. So, yeah, good to be here.
And you stepped up off the bench.
She did.
Above and beyond last week.
Played a great game. Yeah. We've given you the 3 votes, Bree, for last week.
Excellent.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't know there was a tally board.
Just a secret one I have at home when I
listen. I must be winning.
Yeah, I bet
you
are.
Of course, yeah.
Yeah. It was Pancake Tuesday yesterday. Around the world, and it's Pancake Wednesday today on Chicks Talking Footy because we'd like to thank Pancake Parlour for sponsoring us. Yes.
Yay, pancakes.
Could you be happier to promote a product?
No.
To eat the product.
I love pancakes.
I know. I feel like maybe every Wednesday they should bring us some. Just a suggestion, Pancake Parlour.
What do we have on tonight's show? Well, we're halfway through the AFL women's competition, halfway through.
Crazy.
And that means it's like that time of year when you go, do you know what? There's only four games, and then there's only 2 games, and then there's only 1 game. So, yeah.
It's actually making me feel nervous just talking about
it. It's gone really quickly, hasn't it?
It's taken 4 weeks.
Yeah.
And there's only 3 more rounds of the competition before there is a grand final. We're going to talk about how it's gone thus far and who might make the grand final when we chat with Shiloh Curtis.
Mm.
Now, by my reckoning, Tiger, Shiloh's been on the program 3 times. Our favourite friend of the show, I've decided now.
She's a chick that talks footy.
And we love them.
And we love her too. So we're looking forward to chatting with Shiloh Curtis in about 10 minutes. But there are a few other things to talk about. Blokes play footy as well, apparently.
I know. It's like we were having a conversation before where we were saying men's game, men's footy, and I love that we have to differentiate now because there's 2 competitions that we're so excited about.
Yes, especially if you're an Adelaide Crow.
I know. Although I went on Friday night to the JLT game and I was like, meh. I was more interested in the women. I went there and I had my Chelsea Randall, my Erin Phillips badge on my scarf. And I was like, I mean, I support this, but it's not my number one thing at the moment.
That's fantastic. Weren't you spotted with Richo Richardson?
I was. You know me, never pass opportunity to stalk a minor celebrity and have a photo.
And don't forget, we've got the Susan Alberti Women's Day breakfast on Friday.
We do. Super excited.
Women in football. It's not exactly International Women's Day on Friday, but that's perfect time for us.
There's chicks and there's footy.
Yeah.
And no doubt some more people for me to stalk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Looking forward to that. There might be pancakes. What else have we got coming up? Let's talk about the fact that, Tiger, you're the stats expert on the show tonight. Thanks, Moddy, for the heads up. 9 new captains in the AFL.
There are.
Half the competition.
Yeah, half the competition has new captain.
Well, and it suddenly made me wonder how many usually turn over. But then we've had captains like Riewoldt and Pavlich for a long time.
Yeah.
Long, long time.
I was looking at the list because I'd kind of heard them all and I didn't quite process how many there were. But looking at the list, I think a lot of them are sort of succession planning.
Yeah.
Like Jarryn Geary taking over from Riewoldt and Lynch. I mean, Lynch was an obvious choice, but May at the Gold Coast and Jack Viney joining Nathan Jones at Melbourne. I think maybe a few teams are thinking these guys aren't going to hang around forever and let's have some leaders that can go forward.
Even Jack Zeebel replacing Andrew Swallow at North. Yeah.
I think with Nathan Jones, he's done a lot of hard yards. It'd be nice for someone to share that load, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I think that's right. I think being the captain of Melbourne wouldn't be an easy job.
But I also think that Jack Viney's a rather young chap, isn't he?
Yeah, he's only very early 20s, I think.
Yeah, that's suddenly, well, not suddenly, but that now seems quite young.
Yeah, that's right.
Maybe it's more about, us aging.
Maybe. When I was 21, I couldn't even go shopping.
Speaking of which, happy birthday to the skipper who is enjoying her birthday today. I suspect possibly the happiest birthday she's ever had in her life.
I saw her earlier today and she looked pretty happy. So, yes.
Excellent.
And I saw the baby.
Yes, a Cyril. How is Cyril?
Cyril is good. Although she thinks he's too tall to be a Cyril.
Oh, no.
Moddy and I suggested he may grow from 10 days old. Yeah.
You may. What do you think about Dane Beams being Brisbane captain?
Yeah, I was surprised by that.
I like it, but I'm not sure about Rockliffe being vice-captain. If you're going to demote someone from being captain, surely they're just out of the leadership group. I don't think it makes sense. I don't know.
That's an interesting perspective.
I hadn't thought about that.
But he's now vice-captain, so he's been demoted from captain to vice-captain and replaced by Beam. So I think it's an odd dynamic now.
Tiger, you are currently a Blue.
I am.
Because you're a member of the AFL Women's Carlton's Blues. I've got too many S's in there, but you're following the Blues during this comp.
Yeah.
So who is your leadership group? How are your injuries going? And are they the same answer?
Yeah, that's right.
The men or for the women?
The women.
Oh, the women.
Menschmen.
I had switched topics.
You've switched topics. So our injuries aren't that great at the minute.
No.
We missed Brianna Davey on the weekend, I thought. I didn't think the Blues were as polished as they normally are coming out of defence against Melbourne, so we lost that run.
Will Davey be back?
A couple of weeks, yeah. Okay.
Which is, a quarter of the season.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It is.
And that's the thing I'm struggling with the injuries with these women. Yeah, they lose so much, a big chunk of the season.
So you saw that game?
I did.
And what did you think?
Melbourne are very good.
Yeah.
And one piece of advice that I would like to give all of our listeners following the football, the AFL women's football, is watch Daisy Pearce.
Yeah.
Watch her and where she runs and how she reads the play. In my view, she's by far the best player in the competition. She just links up. She reads the play so well and she makes very good decisions all of the time.
Two things. Last week, Moddy was singing the praises of Daisy Pearce and I said that I thought she'd been tagged in the first half. No, she was just playing in the forward line. So I'm entirely fed up with watching footy on a small screen. That's my problem, not anybody else's. Also would like more teams so there are more games.
Mm.
And the other thing is I saw that ad where it looks like everyone's in a pharmacy and there are footballers running around and there's a junior kid who looks at, and I think it was Adelaide, Brisbane and Carlton might be the first three teams you see.
I think that's right.
Hey.
The top three teams.
But the one they talk to is Melbourne.
Yes.
So because this young boy talks to Daisy.
My favourite ad is the one where Daisy gets the little girl off the sidelines, though.
Oh, yes, I've seen that. That's great.
Oh, stop it. Adorable.
Well, on this point, how good is some of the social media and digital media of some of the clubs? Your club, Crow, is outstanding.
Oh, brilliant. Brilliant. And they just have, like I've said before and we might talk about it later, but the getting to know the players is so fascinating. And I sent you girls today an article the Crows had, which was a day in the life of two of the players. And it just talked about how they go to their full-time jobs and then they go to training. And I was like, Brie and I both said, we're like, God, we don't do anything.
No. I read that article and I just thought, I don't feel busy anymore. They're getting home at like 9 p.m., 10 o'clock at night and then eating. All of their housemates have gone to bed. It's just incredible.
But the players are so accessible to us.
Yeah, it's great. Dr. Ernst from the Western Bulldogs. Yeah, she has a pretty dull day job too.
Yeah, just whatever.
Yeah.
But I just love it. That's my favourite thing is they're not one-dimensional. They're about 35-dimensional, some of them.
It's fantastic.
Mm.
Really. They're interesting people.
Well, I think the Adelaide Crows are doing their stories very, very well.
Yeah.
And who else? I think Carlton are doing well.
Yeah, they've got some good digital stuff too.
And Melbourne, a lot of great work coming out of Melbourne. So they're the ones I've noticed. I'm a little disappointed with the Purple from the West, but that's maybe because I'm not there to help them.
I was going to say, you need to fire them up tonight.
Yeah. We've talked about the Melbourne-Carlton game and what else was playing because, of course, Adelaide and Fremantle played.
They did.
Should we talk about other games before we get there? quickly.
We can talk about other games. What else did we have?
I watched the Pies versus the Bulldogs game.
That was Saturday night.
That was Saturday night. And Collingwood went on a third quarter blitz to really win that game. So that was really good to see from the Pies. And we enjoyed that.
I was going to say, have we decided we're not going to talk about Kate Sheen because we're all just going to cry?
Yes.
What a heartbreak. I hate anyone getting hurt. Even the players that I kind of sledge from over the in the men's comp, I don't like anyone being hurt.
That was horrible. Just heartbreaking. Yeah.
It was absolutely heartbreaking. And the incident just looked like a typical ACL, like immediately.
Brisbane beat the Giants convincingly. That's why they're on top or second on the ladder?
Second.
Yeah, okay. And then the last game was in Frio.
Yeah.
And Adelaide 6-10 beat Frio 3-5. But you were a bit nervous in the first quarter,
weren't you? I sent you a message today in the first quarter and I said, I'm a bit worried. Frio looked great. But then the Crows just came back and they kind of really – And look, I say it's the magical Bette Goddard, the unicorn fairy princess that she is, who can do no wrong.
She is fantastic.
But I think it was like at quarter time, she just kind of said to them, more articulately than this, get your shit together.
Yeah.
And they did. Yeah. And they just kind of play as a team. And look, we've rudely taken Western Australia's best players, I think, for the Crows. Chelsea Randall and Kelly Gibson, who are our two marquee players, who are both Western Australian. So they were pretty excited to play a good game at home.
They certainly were. It's that time of year, Mardi Gras this weekend, and there's three weekends of Australian Football League.
It's all happening. It is all happening.
We welcome back one of our favourite friends of the show. When we first chatted with Shiloh Curtis last year, we talked about her work with the AFL Victoria, where she'd been nurturing the grassroots of women's footy for 10 years. Shiloh is truly one of the pioneers of the National Women's League, and now she's wearing a number of different hats. G'day, Shiloh.
Hey, how are you going?
We're going really well. Thanks for chatting with Joy. We've been chatting. We never have enough time in the 30-minute program that we have on Joy 94.9, but we've been chatting about how excited we are, how we're a little disappointed there's only a few weeks to go. But what are the surprises for you of the competition thus far?
Some of the team performances are, there's been some things that they can't control, like injuries and so on. And, you know, we've got some teams, like Fremantle's been quite decimated with injuries. But I think also the performances of some teams that we underrated. So Adelaide Crows, obviously, for example, and the Brisbane Lions are both travelling really well. And I think also Melbourne, the Victorian teams, they're the most inexperienced and the youngest list. But they've got 19 out of their 27 players who've played 1 year or less in the VFL, which is the highest standard of football in Australia before the AFLW. And yet, they lost that first game against Brisbane, which was, now we know, is not a bad thing. And then they've beaten all in front of them on the way through. Now, they were pretty fortunate on the weekend. Bree Davey didn't play for Carlton, so that was really big. It made things a bit easier for them. But, I think some of the performances we've seen, they've been a bit surprising in for different reasons.
I've got to ask you, you've taken on a couple of, you're wearing different hats for Fox Footy, and you're on the radio as well, aren't you?
Mm-hmm. I'm calling some games for, I think, SEN, ABC and Croc Media.
Yeah, because you don't have enough time in the day. Charlotte, it's great to hear you. Is it different, your experience of the football commentating?
It is different because, instead of being behind the scenes, managing and organising and coordinating and making sure games of football are happening and that the girls are okay and they're on the park, I'm actually getting to tell their stories more publicly, which is really lovely because, I've worked, of the 220 players in the AFLW I've worked with, I've coached, mentored or managed 70 of them. So it's really nice to be able to tell their stories and introduce them to the world because we all within our community know and love them, but there's so many more people that need to get to know who these women are and know their journeys and their stories. And, separate of their football, many of their stories and journeys are inspirational. So we want to make sure that everyone knows it. And it's really nice to be able to do that.
And that's what we were saying before, Shaila. That's one of the real differences we've noticed between the women's and the men's competition is that we feel like we know these women because we're learning their stories and they're so well-rounded, all of them, whether it's a sport or an occupation. It's making them a lot more like people that we can get to know.
Yeah, well, that's right. I mean, unlike the men, there's a few things I think the AFL will learn about what, you know, maybe what's missing from the men's game because it's become so elite and so high performance. So, like, losing the suburban grounds, the ability to reach out and touch your athletes after a game on the boundary. You know, the losing teams stand out there and do autographs for half an hour and they come out and see their families and, you know, you can get really amongst it. So there's a whole bunch of things that I think the AFL will learn from. And even that idea of, you know, once players become full-time professional athletes, they're no longer a nurse or a police officer or a school teacher. I'm a school teacher. That's just like me, you know.
Yeah.
So all of a sudden they become a little bit more disconnected. So, yes, it's going to be a great day when these women can just focus on what they do and their craft of being athletes. But at the same time, there's a real benefit to them sort of being hybrid athlete sort of professionals or having their own careers because I think, you know, the general public can relate a little bit more closely to them and they feel a little bit closer and we can reach them easier.
Shiloh, were you part of the advisory group this time last year?
No, not the national advisory group, no.
Well, I wish we'd all been a fly on the wall. Do you know if it will be reconvening to meet again?
Oh, look, I don't know, to be honest. But, look, I know that there's a whole bunch of, you know, there's a whole review process that's currently taking place and that's post the AFLW competition and they're reviewing everything. They'll review everything from uniforms to, you know, the timeline of the games, how long they were, the congestion, you know, on the field, 16 aside, the list. I mean, you know, already we know the list lengths aren't long enough. And, you know, I think almost every club's had to go into some top-up players at some point. I think that in itself is, you know, a little bit tricky because we've got to make sure we've got enough talent in the state. So, we know it's coming. I mean, we always knew that the first sort of 3 years was going to be pretty light on in terms of, talent at the bottom end.
Sure.
But look, I can tell you now, the kids that are coming through the ranks, the 14 and 15 and 16-year-old kids are just amazing. You think Daisy Pearce is a good footballer, wow. Some of these kids, so many of them. So it's very exciting and, you know, come 2020 and this competition's expanded and we've put another 4 Victorian teams, we hope, and 12 teams in the park, it's going to be a very, very exciting competition.
I agree. I've been calling it the anti-Trump reality because it's just the beginning of both things, which is the AFL Women's is going to go on for years and years, and unfortunately Donald Trump is, but I'm just ignoring
that. I'm fascinated with how they're going to grow the competition. The AFL's come out today and said that next season all of the games will be free to the public, which is great. So we have that, grassroots connection. And I'm just fascinated with how, they will move to expand the competition and just the scheduling of that because at the moment, you know, the competition finishes when the men's competition begins. If we have more teams, the season will go longer. You know, when are they going to actually, you know, practically schedule a competition?
Yeah, I think probably, and I've already seen and heard some different things, but, you know, most likely, I would imagine that, look, they're expecting another 250 teams here in Victoria alone this year, female teams, which is, we grew 100 teams in last year, and last year was our biggest growth year ever. So, if our growth goes at that rate this year and next year, when expansion comes in 2019, you can imagine the amount of talent that's going to be available in Victoria will be huge. And what I would say and what I'd probably anticipate is that, you know, there are 4 teams in Victoria, clubs in Victoria that didn't get licences.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd imagine that they would get them and you'd end up with another 4 in Victoria. It makes it cheaper to run the competition too when everyone's not flying around all the time. They're all here in Victoria, or the bulk of them are. But, you know, there's some conversation already that's taken place, you know, suggesting looking at conferences, for instance. So if you have 12 teams, you have 2 conferences of 6, you can still play everyone once, that's 5 rounds, and then you can have a really good, you know, a fair dinkum final series on top of that as well, and you still get 8 weeks. We have to be very careful, of course, that we don't work too far into winter because we don't want to decimate, you know, this emerging product that is the VFL, and that was a great quality competition last year in its first run at it, and we want to make sure that the best athletes in the country are still available for that because we need to make sure it's a legitimate state league. It needs to be the state league standard. If we take all the AFL players out of it, at this point, given the talent we currently have, you know, that'll struggle to be of that standard. So, you know, for the next sort of 4 or 5 years, you know, unfortunately the athletes are going to have competitions. really, to make sure that we can keep the standard of the VFL strong and solid and the AFL women strong and solid as well.
One last question for you, Shiloh. How much will the state leagues benefit from the first season of the AFLW across the country?
Oh, extraordinarily. Extraordinarily. At the moment, it's already, you know, within the first, you know, within 24 hours of the first game, I know, you know, my old club, Melbourne University, had 10 emails from, you know, new women that wanted to play, and at least another 10 from junior girls that wanted to play at the club within 24 hours of that first game. If that's just, and I don't know, the Eastern Devils experienced something very similar. And so, and I just read last night on Melbourne Uni's group that they're entering a fourth team, a fourth open age women's team this year as well. So, you know, they've just been inundated with new players and numbers. And so what it also means is you get a greater standard of training, you get more people on the track, everyone pushes each other harder, standard goes up. But also the women that have come back from playing in the AFL, and that's most of our VFL women, when they come back and they're playing in the VFL, you know, they're already fitter, faster, harder, they're match hardened. They've got to have a month off between finishing and starting their VFL commitments. But, you know, the VFL will go up another notch again this year. And that in itself is going to be a really exciting competition to watch, especially with Hawthorn throwing their weight behind the Box Hill Hawks and now Geelong taking over the North Geelong team. I think we're going to see a level of professionalism in their process that we haven't seen before. And as a result, the style of football they're going to play is going to be so entertaining.
Shiloh, thanks for talking with us. You can read her work around ESPN. Love your work. Thanks so much for talking with Joy tonight.
No worries at all.
Shiloh Curtis. I could talk with her about football, and poor woman, every time I see her in something like The Breakfast on Friday morning, I pin her ears to the wall, and then I hope that she tells me more things than I tell her.
Because I'm not the only creep in the team.
That's true. We should talk about what's coming up.
There is a lot coming up, a lot. So we've got the next round of the AFLW this week, starting on Friday.
Yeah, there was no Friday night footy.
No, we're back on Friday this week.
Yeah, that felt
That's
wrong.
That's why already. I had to go to the men's game on Friday, because it was all that was on. So Friday, GWS in Melbourne, a Blacktown in Sydney.
Yep.
I think Melbourne's probably still the team to beat there.
That's a double header with the boys match as well.
Okay.
And then Saturday morning, we'll be there, won't we, Bree? Carlton and the Western Bulldogs.
11:35 with our lattes.
I know.
I can't.
It'll
make
be
it
midday
to the game.
At some point, Bree. That should be a good game, I hope.
Yes, I'm hoping as well. The Blue Girls need a win.
And then Frio on Collingwood. What do you reckon, Danae? Is this your week?
No. Well, no.
Okay, noted.
No.
And then Saturday night, Crows and Brisbane, top of the table. Oh.
I think we should get together and watch it.
Nervous just thinking about it because I'm so excited at the possibilities.
All right.
I need a moment to calm down.
Well, we'll wrap up the show shortly.
And go home and have a good lie down.
It's Elizabeth Gore with the Chicks Talking Footy on Joy 94.9 FM.
Yes, you're listening to Chicks Talking Footy for about 2 more minutes.
Okay, we've had some messages, which is exciting.
I think.
Our first one is from our number one fan, Betty. Greetings, Chicks Talking Footy. Did you hear or read free entry for 2018?
We did.
As we said before, we did. So that's exciting.
Very
More
good
access
news.
For everyone.
Yep.
Then our other message is from the lovely Zoe, who someone might know in this studio.
There's a few people who might know.
Mm-hmm. Sounding chilled and loving the chat. Fairy Princess Unicorn, ha, ha, ha. And it started with, indeed you have stolen our best. So I think that's a criticism about the stealing of the West Australian players.
Yes.
The game this week was busy, busy, full ground. So exciting times in the West.
Did you notice that there was a lot of, suddenly we're on that wing and then we're over there? I think both Michelle Cowan and Beck Goddard like to play, their players to play attacking, bring it back into the corridor, risk everything football.
Yeah, that's the two female coaches head to head.
Yeah. That could have been a draw. That would have been poetic.
Yeah. But I would rather win.
Yeah. No. Well, we did talk about the Crows as being a really interesting prospect right from the start. We also talked about Brisbane because of the Stasevich-Zilke connection and how long he's been in Queensland football.
And their key forwards.
Yeah, how well. gosh. And I thought they were top heavy. What would I know?
You know what else I learned about Brisbane today? They're ruck chick. Shani Webb is only 170 centimetres tall. I say only compared to me. That's like a giant. But some of the other, so like Emma King is 186 centimetres tall. Yep. Rhianna Metcalf, the West Crow's Australian. Ruck, she's 185 centimetres tall. Erin McKinnon, 189. So this girl's rucking against women 20 centimetres taller than her.
That's a lot.
That's
isn't
a bloody good effort.
Nearly a
kudos
foot
to her.
So I want to send a shout out to Shani.
Yeah.
Well, I want to send a shout out to all of them. Go well this weekend, gals. Thanks for listening to Chicks Talking a Footy. Yes, Beck.
And I just want to do one more shout out to the Rainbow Crows, Adelaide Crows LGBTI supporter group, who officially launched their memberships this week. Awesome. So you can become a member. So get onto Facebook and sign up.
Oh, and so did the Rainbow Swans launch their membership as well.
And the Rainbow Giants exist. So there's a lot of rainbow love. And of course, it's the Sydney Gay and Lesbian Mardi Gras weekend this weekend. You can tune in and hear Beck again.
Again, 4 till 7. But all weekend. Don't go off, Joy.
And if you, of course, and if you listen to us via podcast, please take a moment to rate and like us. So we'll see you next Wednesday for Chicks Talking Footy. Footy.
Footy on Joy 94.9, sponsored by The Pancake Parlour, supporting AFL Women's since day one. Lovely.